He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined by Raj Chapalu. Again, eventually, officially going to be a part of Lakers Lounge, if he isn't already. Like, I'm considering it that way anyway. We are going to be talking about that loss, a brutal one in which you had basically everything that you could possibly ask for outside of Anthony Davis's foul trouble go in the Lakers direction, and it just doesn't matter. The Denver Nuggets figured out a way to win. Once again, hammering home a point that I was making going into the series, but we won't bring that up. We won't bring that up, Raj. You and I won't bring that up.
No.
Harrison will.
Oh, no.
Hey, Raj.
Hey, Harrison.
How's it going?
Quite the game. I've been better.
Yeah, me too. You know, one of us wanted to avoid this.
Two of us.
That's fair. That is fair.
Make it clear.
Nothing is safe in life. Especially not a lead against the Nuggets, I guess.
No, it's not. I still stand by it. We made the right decision.
Yeah, those basketball gods aren't punishing the Lakers at all. Like they're really smiling down happily on the Los
Angeles
Lakers.
Anthony, I feel very rewarded by the basketball gods tonight.
Yeah, those basketball gods, like they.
You guys have other things. Like you guys watch other things. You have other stuff you're into. This is all I got. So if I even got an extra
week. And it's ending anyway, Raj. Those basketball gods.
Yeah, but I at least
got
like an extra week and a half, 2 weeks out of it. The Sacramento Kings could have beat us, and we would be sitting at home a week ago. So I still think we made the right decision. I'm standing 10 toes down on that.
Okay. Well, I'm standing, I have an extra toe. I'm standing 11 toes down on the fact that they would have had a better chance beating the Sacramento Kings than beating the Denver Nuggets in this series.
I'm just going to say that I can't see anyone beating the Lakers 11 times in a row. So I think game three is when they finally get it, you know,
when the series is over.
The season's over. 2-1. No, the season doesn't start until the home team wins a game. So I think the Lakers are still
that
in this. Everybody that was mad at me beforehand, I'm not saying I told you so or anything like that. I would never do that. Because I am also sad. And this sucks. This game sucked. I let myself feel hope for about like 10 minutes there, and then Jamal Murray just comes in and Jokic, and they just rip your hearts out. And yeah, you know.
I just really quickly, I'm not going to complain too much about the officiating here, but giving them 2 points down the stretch of that game on a no call, basically, when like you're saying it was incidental contact when D'Lo gets hit in the face, but somehow Murray gets like breathed on, and you give him a pivotal 2 points there in that game. It's just, that was horseshit. Like, that was such a terrible call given the setting and all of that. Even Anthony Davis's fourth foul, right, where it's on a moving screen. Yeah. And like, what I've noticed now in the NBA is like good defenders, basically, if they know they're beat on a screen, they just pretend like the defender stuck out their knee and they fall over and they tend to get the call there. I think that's going to be the next grifting thing that the NBA kind of keeps an eye on moving forward. But yeah. Harrison, do you want to hang out for the rest of the show, or did you just want
to
torture
Ross? No, I do not. I'm very sad, and I'm not getting paid to be here, and I just wanted to show up and just ask Raj how he was feeling. I'll check in after next game, buddy.
Okay. Thank you, bud. Thank you.
All right.
We'll win that one. Come after a win.
No, yeah. 2-1. Yeah. The Nuggets held serve. Lakers are going to do the same.
They did their job. Like, they did what they're supposed to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what they always say, and then the season's over. All right. So on this one, we're going to be talking about the Lakers losing to the Denver Nuggets. We're going to be talking about the things that went right in this one, and what the Lakers were doing that was successful. Some of what we saw from Denver to make it less successful. Some of what the Lakers did to themselves to make themselves less successful. That's a tough combination of words to say back to back. Less successful. I'm going to go away from that combination. Speaking of going away from combinations, LeBron and AD were had it really, really going, and then we just stopped seeing their pick and rolls. Anthony Davis scored 5 points in the second half. So we'll talk about that as well. I guess he scored 8 points in the second half, right? He had 24 in the first half.
He 24,
So we'll discuss some of that. I had a report drop for Substack today talking about Darvin Ham's future and how it's connected to the series or might not be connected to the series. So we'll talk about that. That certainly, my mentions today were just lovely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like everybody handled that report really, really well, including the site that aggregated me poorly. Like you have one job. All you got to like hit copy and paste. I'd be fine with that. Like you're not going to cite, you're not going to like put the link there anyway. So just copy and paste the lead, just say it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are, let's talk about this game. The Lakers lose to the Denver Nuggets for the 10th straight time, 101-99. The Lakers at one point in this one held a 20 point lead, in the third quarter. I thought we got some interesting lineup, combinations there. Now the Lakers were able to kind of fight back in the fourth quarter and reverse some of the momentum that Denver had. At one point they held a 9 point lead with, you know, whatever it was, 5-6 minutes left in the game. This one that like, I'm not as upset after this one as I was the last one. Really? Because like the last one, like the last one, right, indicates fully this is just a better team, right? Denver is just better. That's basically it. That's the long and short of the series. You don't lose to a team 10 straight times with essentially the same core without that being the case. And this one, though, like, you know, you had everything go in your way. It does essentially end your season. So it hurts in that regard. But again, if like after this, you basically, as I am, walk away from this game basically saying they're better, it becomes that much easier to just kind of accept the loss. I know, Raj, you aren't wired like that. And I can see the pain on your face while I'm making that point.
I can't believe those words even came out of your mouth right there after this game.
Aren't they?
They're better for sure. Yeah, but that's not where I came out of this game, though. Like, I thought we outplayed them tonight. AD again for the second straight game, at least for the first half.
They've outplayed them a few times over the course of the 10 straight losses that they've taken to the Denver Nuggets. They have outplayed them in a decent chunk of those games. It doesn't fucking matter. They are better. No, all they need is like a 5-minute stretch to reverse that momentum. And then if they get to clutch, if they get to the clutch moment minutes and you're up by less than double digits, it's over. They win those games against the Lakers. The Lakers aren't disciplined enough on either side of the ball to win those minutes.
So I want to start with this, because this is going to get forgotten in this game, which is very sad to me. LeBron threw, and I'm gonna do a boxing analogy, and I don't even watch boxing, but like LeBron threw like 4 or 5 haymaker shots that put down pretty much Anthony any other team that he's played in his career. Like those shots, the 2 jab step threes that he got, the tomahawk dunk on Jamal Murray in transition, and then the and one to put us up 6. He missed a free throw. Like, I thought LeBron and AD were ready for this fight. And I always compare this to last year. I know the 8 straight losses, 9 straight, 10 straight, whatever, 10 straight is what it is now. The whole point was we're supposed to be better this year. We're supposed, like, we have the starting lineup that's correct. What did we say all about game? We did a game one reaction, you know, podcast a couple of days ago. It was all about D'Angelo Russell. And if they, you know, if they can just get something from D'Lo, then they can really move the margins up. You got a great D'Lo game, right? Like, he played really well.
Half,
yeah. I mean, like, he made enough shots where, like, you understand, like, you got the production from D'Lo you were looking for, right? He made 7 threes. You can't ask for more than that. I thought we went a little.
Always ask. It's
what you can ask. You're not going to get it. Right? Like, yeah, it's not realistic at all. And we went to this freelance offense down the stretch where I thought AD and LeBron should have been more involved. But it's just, Anthony, I'm going to go back and watch this. But the MPJ 3, right? That one after LeBron tomahawk dunk, Jokic fumbles, or I think you were saying he was trying to draw a foul. The MPJ 3 ties it. And then we got exactly what I asked for. I said, down the stretch, you have to put LeBron. I'm closing my eyes. I'm just visualizing the play. Like, you got to put LeBron on Jamal Murray and then AD on Jokic to, like, switch those ball screens. And we did it. It came to fruition. They ran the pick and roll. We got AD on Jamal Murray twice. And then Jamal Murray came back to a wraparound, another screen, took a mid-range fadeaway jumper over LeBron. Net. Next play, next possession down, LeBron gets the phantom foul on Jamal Murray. Foul or not, you can debate. And then the Jamal Murray game winner. It's just, I don't come away from this thinking, damn, they're so much better than us. Like, that's what you came away from this? That's not where I got from this. I got from this that, like, we blew another game down the stretch. They have something against us in the clutch situation for some reason. Some magic, some dark evil magic comes out.
You know what the dark evil magic is? They are a better, more disciplined basketball team. Arash Markazi tweeted this out, a pretty damning stat of Darvin, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of Darvin talk here, later in the show and over the course of the show. Arash tweeting, fuel for the Darvin Ham hot seat. The Nuggets have outscored the Lakers 114-83 in the second half in this season series after making halftime adjustments. I think. Easy. Calm down, Siri. Just go to sleep. We'll talk about Darvin here later. And I want to spend more time on this, like, macro point of, like, this is what it. So I remember for a stretch there, the Lakers owned the Dallas Mavericks. It was like, while Kobe was a Laker, I think the Lakers won something like 11 straight games against the Dallas Mavericks. And, there would be games that they beat the crap out of them. Right. There's the game that sticks out where Kobe outscored the Mavericks through three quarters. And then you would also have these games where the Mavericks would be like, all right, finally, we're breaking the streak, baby. It's finally going to happen. Right. And eventually it does get broken. Like, eventually the Lakers are going to break the streak after Jokic retires. But, like, when a team just owns another team,
yeah,
they know it, right? Both teams know it. LeBron may not feel that way, and he was the one throwing those haymakers, but you look at everybody else on the court with him down, including AD, frankly, down the stretch of that game, and everybody was just waiting for the inevitable. And that's the dark voodoo magic, is the lack of belief that the Lakers have in those moments, because D'Lo didn't want the ball. Austin hit a couple, hit a shot right down the stretcher. Rui played probably his worst game of the season tonight. Just brutal night for him to play that way.
Rough. Terrible timing.
Like, when it got into those clutch minutes, you saw a complete and utter belief on Denver's side, right? They threw the ball into Jokic and he just went right through AD to get to the basket, got that and one to draw AD's fifth foul. If he was guarded by Rui, right, it was just over that way. I thought LeBron, as usual, did a pretty good job actually on Jokic. The thing that LeBron does that I wish Rui would do is LeBron fights like hell to make it hard for Jokic to catch the ball. And for some reason, Rui just lets him catch. Like, it's really kind of, You can't, if you're giving up as much size and physicality as Rui is, you got to switch it up. Like, he can't be the same coverage every time where you let him catch, you let him take a couple dribbles, maybe a trap comes, but for the most part, they had Rui guarding him on an island tonight. That's why, like, my dad has been texting me all day today, and over the last couple days about, I don't ever want to see Rui on Jokic again. It's like, well, they don't have very many options here. But, like, it's the way that Rui guards Jokic, and it's the way that Darvin Ham has Rui guarding Jokic that makes it even more difficult for Rui, who is not a defensive stalwart, to go out there and try to defend Jokic either. But, like, that, I know it's probably a depressing thought to have coming out. The first thought that I had was, holy shit, that was an incredible game, right? It was
not the first thought I had.
Well, no, like, after I pour the wine, right, and after I sit down here and I have a couple minutes to think about it, like, the basketball fan in me says, like, Jesus, that was an incredible game. You saw for my money, when the Lakers playing the way that they should, these are the two best teams in the conference. These are the two best teams in the conference over the last 5 years. And the only difference between, well, not the only, but the major difference and the reason that the Lakers aren't considered one of the two best teams in the conference is because they got super duper drunk one night and traded for Russell Westbrook. But what I take from that after I sit down, after I get all of the cuss words out and after I pour the tallest glass of wine that I can physically pour.
Right.
The next thought that I have is just like sometimes you just got to tip your cap, man. Like you just got to look at the other guys on that side. You look at the organization over there and the way that they handle their business. There are so few wasted possessions from Denver. There are like none. There are no possessions where like Peyton Watson is like, fuck it, I'm shooting a step back three, baby. You never see Christian Brown going like, you know, 1-on-4 the way that Dinwiddie did. There is such a better understanding throughout that organization, throughout that roster, of what needs to be done to be successful. So it's not just that they are the more talented team. It's that they are that, and they have a coach who like really holds guys accountable, understands what it takes to like to get into players' chests when they need to get, you know, when you need to grab the face mask, but also evens it out with, you know, those guys fully understanding that Mike Malone would freaking die for any of them. And,
right.
And
yeah.
Like, you look at Darvin Ham here, and it's just like, again, tonight you had a lineup tonight where it was what? It was AD, and it was D'Lo, and it was Spencer, Gabe. And it was Gabe, and it was Prince. And it's just like, what? This is your most important game, and that lineup is ever going to touch the floor? Ever? You know, fundamental misunderstanding from Darvin and from the Lakers in general as a franchise, what it takes to be exceptional. Like they think that they are exceptional because they are the Lakers, but it takes work to be exceptional.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was watching this remind after I get through the sadness and trying to just, you know, give Denver their, you know, give them their props before we actually lose to them. Before we actually lose the series, but they have a level of continuity that no one can match. Like it's Steph Draymond level. That's the closest I get to from this decade, really. Murray and Jokic, and the amount of trust they have in Jamal Murray. Like Jokic obviously is the best player, but there's just zero amount. It's like, it's all humility. It's Murray, you got it going. I don't need a shot. I don't need a touch. I'm going all through you, and just to trust him to take all those shots. And he kills us every time. He wasn't even having like a good game really, but it still is. Like, I know you were talking about the, you know, the lineup in the third, and it's just, and the defensive combinations of putting Rui on Jokic. And yeah, there's places where you can do better in those situations. And Jokic doesn't really attack Rui in the post. He attacks him in pick and roll, right? So whenever Rui's guarding Jokic, they go straight to a ball screen and get Jamal Murray going downhill. Murray had some nifty layups, and I thought that got him going. Like, he got some layups up the rim. But Anthony, I'm going to go back. Like, I know it's tough to kind of break down, but like, we held Denver to 101 points, right? Like we held Denver. We had a good defensive game. Like, I thought our game plan was right. AD switched on a Jokic in the second, in this game from the start. And I thought that kind of hurt maybe his offense in the second half. I don't know if that's a reason. Maybe he was, you know, kind of gassed. No, I'm just saying, like, he didn't get a single touch in the second half.
What hurts AD in the second half is that the Lakers forget Anthony Davis is on their roster. It's the same fucking story. Like, we always, how often do we have to watch it?
That's some on AD too, right? Anthony, well, sure. That's a little on it. Like, he has to, he has to demand the ball too. Like, I understand.
So in that lineup, when the Lakers had that lineup out there of four guards, two and a half of them, because like Dinwiddie is like a tweener, right? But two of them are point guards. Of those two point guards, one of those guys needs to knock everybody's head together and be like, hey, we have Anthony Davis over there. Nikola Jokic isn't on the floor, right? And again, that's where like Darvin needs to step up also and be like, hey, you have Anthony Davis on the floor. Taurean, what are you doing taking a step back three-pointer here? And like, you're right. AD, he's not wired this way. And I wish he was. But like, if Shaq was ever on that kind of a lineup and he saw Taurean Prince shooting a step back three pointer, you know what he would do? He would send Taurean Prince to Boulder. Like, he would throw that dude out of the arena. Like, he would, you know, Shaq used to like, he's told these stories, and other players who were on Shaq's teams have told these stories where, like, you know, a point guard will have a good game, knock down a whole bunch of shots. But if the Lakers lose that game, you know who the first person is in the locker room to remind that point guard who actually wins them basketball games? It was Shaq. And it was either in the locker room, and it was in timeouts, it was in between quarters. It was a constant reminder, get me the MF and ball, right? It's too early in the show for me to drop an MF. By the way, we have 4,700 people in here, almost, you know, and I think by the time we really get going here, it'll get up to 5,000. If you guys are watching live on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. If you guys are watching on YouTube, please do hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, fire off those comments. I am going to get to the super comments here later in the show. Again, I'm Anthony Irwin. That is Raj Jhabbaloo. We're going to be doing this for the last two playoff games that the Lakers are going to be playing. But yeah, you're right. Like AD needs to demand the ball and all of this stuff. But we've also watched this all season where the Lakers have brain dead players who like are way too happy to completely go away from the things that are working. And some of it is coaching. Some of it's the players themselves. Some of it is AD, whatever the reason might be. The Lakers have like their own ADHD has kicked their ass this season.
For sure. A lot of it also is us kind of freelancing. And there was a point there where we were trying to spread the possessions out, get D'Lo some ball screen possessions. And Denver started switching a lot more. And that's where D'Lo gets in trouble when wings, kind of wing players switch on him. I thought we were trying to get Austin the going as well as a ball handler. I just want to give Denver a credit, just a schematic thing they did. That again, I'm not blaming this for why AD didn't get a touch, but what they did was they moved Jokic, Anthony off of AD and onto Rui. So what that did was force LeBron was hunting the Jokic matchup. And so whoever was guarding Jokic, he was bringing him up to screen. And once Jokic moved on to Rui, LeBron started to like ask Rui to come up to screen. And Rui's just not as dynamic of a screener. He got a couple, you know, he got a couple pocket passes and he got to the line once, I think, for his main points of the game. And LeBron was getting downhill and just could not hit layups and was thinking he thought he got fouled. It looked like he got fouled. Some of those calls are tough to kind of digest in real time, but I thought that was part of it as well. Jokic switched off AD. Mike Malone adjusted to them like us relentlessly hunting Jokic on LeBron AD pick and rolls, and that one adjustment kind of like took AD kind of out, because now it's AD trying to bully Aaron Gordon. And like when AD's jump shot kind of died in the second half, and he started to like not really trust his floater, it took his offensive game out. And of course he's guarding Jokic on the other end. So I wanted to give credit to Denver there as well, but yeah, it's tough. AD goes through these, like it's a common thing that happens to him when, you know, on the Lakers, he'll have a big first half and he'll have like 20 in the first half and finish with 26. It's just that's something that happens with him, especially even in playoff games. But just want to give Denver that credit there. That adjustment really hurt us. And yeah, those small guard lineups, I didn't like those. I don't understand why Rui just can't play the third. He didn't play well tonight. I guess that's why he got kind of benched. But the play that will stick with me, 38. Anthony, yeah, he did play a lot. But the Dinwiddie driving like up seven, driving to one-on-one, take a one-on-one floater that, you know, he misses, and then they go on the other end and score, and we have to take a timeout down five. That was really the turning point to me. Like, that was LeBron was resting. Like, you kind of played it even enough. You were up seven. Take the freak. I don't cuss really, but take the timeout and, you know, and go into the timeout up seven instead of you're up five, and they walked you down. So a lot of points of like emphasis we can go to, but to me, that possession there, what was Dinwiddie thinking? Like, I'm not sure if he thought he was going to get the call and all that, but yeah,
he wasn't rough. He wasn't thinking is the thing. Right. We've talked about this a lot over the course of the season. And again, you know, all the credit to Tim from Lakers Exceptionalism, in that pod, you know, charting the percentage of times that the Lakers call sets over the course of the game and stuff like that. And also keeping an eye on how productive the Lakers are when they run sets versus how they freelance. And I've said this all year, the reason that there's such a stark contrast between how good the Lakers are when they run sets versus how good they are when they don't, is because there are no principles in place, right? Like, you watch Denver, and even when they quote unquote freelance, it's still Jokic and Murray involved either together or one or the other, right? there's a reason that, you know, the play breaks down and always seems to find the ball, always seems to find an open Michael Porter Jr., you know, or it's always like the play breaks down and it's always Aaron Gordon catching a lob on the baseline, right? Like those guys, because of the continuity, because of the coaching and the culture that has been set. Like that was one of the things, that was one of the points that Adam made when he came on to prep everybody here for the series. And one of the things that he talks about and everybody who covers that Denver team talks about is the concept of culture and, you know, the culture of sacrifice, the culture of fitting in, the culture of understanding what they need to do if they are going to be a dynasty, right? Because that's what they're aiming for. That's their goal. Their goal extends way beyond just this series. It's this series, and then it's another one after it, another one after that, and then it's hopefully winning a championship. And they play like it. They play with that kind of focus. They play with that kind of understanding. And you watch these Lakers, man, and it's just like, it, you know, Darvin always talks about like next play mentality. Well, they play that short-sighted where they're the only thing that they care about is the next play. And there's never there's never a macro level understanding of what needs to be accomplished to win a basketball game. Sometimes they win basketball games just because they have enough talent to do it. But I never feel like Darvin is getting the most out of his talent. And tonight, man, the Lakers were up by 20 in the third quarter. And instead of like really putting their foot on their throats, and you knew that they were eventually going to, you know, start throwing their own haymakers to fight to get back into the game. You knew that. So that means you have to be that much more focused and disciplined to deal with that incoming haymaker, right? And instead, the Lakers were just, oh, well, we'll throw these five guys out there who probably haven't played yet together this year. Well, like, there is no reason. You made this point a couple times over the course of the game. There is no reason Dinwiddie and Gabe need to play in this.
None.
Like, there's no reason. The Lakers tonight played 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not going to count Giles, right? But they played 1, 2, 3, 4. They played 9 guys in this game. Like, I'm sorry. They aren't a good enough team to play 9 guys. You aren't.
They're not at all. Yeah, I didn't like the Gabe and Dinwiddie both be involved. And God, like the bar is in hell, Anthony. I keep saying this. The bar is so low. Can we just get an open shot made? Like LeBron drives, right? Creates all the attention. Throws a whip pass to the corner to Gabe on the money. And he just can't hit an open three. He missed both his threes. Rui as well missed his threes. One stat that upsets me, and it kind of shows, like, I'm not, again, I don't go at Darvin as much, but the one of the comparisons for this team to me is how much Malone plays his starters and how much we play our starters.
Yeah.
Anthony, our starters played 17 minutes tonight together. Like, that's like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I know Rui didn't play well, but, and you compare that to Denver played their starters 28 minutes. Like, so
yeah,
like basically you're, and Dinwiddie came in super early into the game when D'Lo was cooking. Like, you finally got D'Lo finding rhythm. He was hot. He had 3 threes and a mid-range jumper, and then he got pulled for Dinwiddie early. I'm not saying these lost us the game in any sense. It's just the game management was a little off while Denver just keeps their starters out there. It's just, that's really tough when you're playing those type of situations. And then the 4-guard lineups to close quarters, Darvin Ham is trying to fit like a square into a circle hole. Like, it's just, I don't know why he needs to fit all these players into the rotation. But again, I'm not sure that lost us this game. It's just the game management stuff when you're up 20. You just gotta be
margins. Like, again, they're the better team. You have to overcome the margins. And you look at the minute allotment here. The Nuggets had Aaron Gordon play 40 minutes, Jokic played 41 minutes, Jamal Murray played 40 minutes. KCP played 35, MPJ played 38. Not a single Laker played over 40. This was your game 7. Like,
yeah, I don't get that. I don't get
you. You aren't winning this series if you don't win this game. It's over. Like, it's like I know you and Harrison are playing it cute and saying that like the series doesn't start until the team loses at home. You know who's probably like more likely to lose at home in this one?
Yeah,
it's probably the team heading home.
No, you know, sure.
Like, this was the game that you needed to win. You had Jamal Murray playing like shit, dog shit. He even said it after the game. He only had an opportunity to take that shot because his teammates, you know, kept that game close enough that he was able to make that game winner. You had AD, frankly, outplaying Jokic in the first half, like legitimately outplaying, not going toe to toe, outplaying the best player in the world. And I don't care what adjustment it takes. You like Mike Malone can't make an adjustment that takes Anthony Davis out of the game.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
if AD gets taken out of the game, that's because of stuff that the Lakers did way more than it is what Mike Malone did. Right. And then, you know, like, yeah, it hurts that Austin played really poorly in this one on offense. He played, I thought, really well defensively. And I think, you know, basically the trade-off there is that Austin's legs are getting taken away by how hard he has to work on Jamal Murray. That's what also drives me insane is that the Lakers just don't do anything to take Murray's legs away. It's just, I don't, there is so much that I don't like. There is so much that, that the Lakers could be trying that they just like, aren't, you know, like the Jamal. And then for some reason, like Adam made this point and the audience got angry at him for making it and me not pushing back on it. But he basically said that like when Jeff Green was on the Nuggets last year, LeBron would just kind of like not really attack Jeff Green for whatever reason, you know, whether it was an amount of respect or whatever. And like when like Peyton Watson is on him and when Christian Brown is on him, LeBron sees barbecue chicken.
But goes right through him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like for whatever reason, like I think he KCP is getting the Jeff Green treatment where he kept seeing KCP and he just, it felt like you know, this is probably blasphemous to mention this as somebody who covers a LeBron James team, but it reminded me of the JJ Barea series where like he is giving, he like, he has so much more size and so much more physicality than KCP. And at no point in this game did he just put him in the basket. It didn't happen once, right. Not once. Yeah. You know, yeah, and like, I don't know if it's a legs thing. I don't know if he's tired or whatever, but that's a missed opportunity there.